Cody.
Yes, man.
My strawberry patch. You're pretty serious, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, buddy. I'm going to have to bring some next week.
Ooh, rude. I made sure you got some strawberries today.
Yeah.
Strawberry raise energy drink.
Welcome to the Steelers Battle League Podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you on this fine Memorial Day?
Oh, man, I am doing wonderful. Happy Memorial Day to you. Happy Memorial Day to those who are listening. Thank you if you have served our wonderful nation. We appreciate that very much. We are free to do the things that we do even right now, recording this podcast, because of those who have fought and sadly died for our freedom. So thank you if you have served, and thank you if a relative may have served and may have given the ultimate sacrifice for us. We appreciate more than you could know everything that they've done and that your family's done for our country.
Yeah, big shout out to my sister. She's retiring from the Air Force this year after, I want to say, like 22 years in service, man.
Dang.
So, yeah, she really did the thing, man, and real proud of her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
Steelers news.
Steelers news.
Yeah, man, straight into it. The Steelers this last week signed both Najee Harris, the first-round pick, and Pat Freiermuth, the second-round pick, to their rookie deals.
Two guys that we're very excited about. Two guys that we think can change the game completely when it comes to our offensive strategy. Super excited to see what they're going to do with those two guys, because I think they're going to be immediate game changers for Pittsburgh's offense.
Now, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Najee Harris's deal, his contract is 100% guaranteed, fully guaranteed.
I did not see that, but that is not surprising for the simple fact that I believe, this is my personal opinion, I know that we've discussed the business aspect side of a running back and have him for 5 years, let someone else pay him. I think Pittsburgh could be looking at this guy as a long-term guy, and they're trying to make sure they have a good relationship with him early and often, because they've seen what happens when you don't.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think he's long-term.
And the NFL in general is going more and more towards this with draft picks. So it's kind of been like previous years, maybe the first 10 guys got a fully guaranteed contract, then 15, then 20. Now they made it all the way to at least 24, because that's where Najee was. So won't be surprised if in future years you have everyone's contracts fully guaranteed. A lot of other sports do it, like the NBA does it. I think Major League Baseball does it. It's only a matter of time before the NFL follows suit if their players' union actually stands up strong enough to do it.
Very true. But yeah, I'm not surprised. Najee Harris being the number one overall running back taken, it's no surprise at all, in my opinion, that he's getting that 100% guarantee.
Yeah. Next piece of news, the Steelers started their first organized team activities, or OTAs, as they like to call it for abbreviation's sake. A lot of players are talking about how they didn't feel necessary to be there during these COVID times. It was completely unnecessary and dangerous.
And then 64 of them showed up.
Not bad out of 90. Not bad out of 90 at all.
No.
Including one Cameron Hayward, which he was one of the biggest vocal opposers, I guess is the best way of saying it, to this whole thing. He was there along with all four quarterbacks.
Yeah. I think the biggest notable not there was none of the current wide receivers from last year were there.
No, oh, really? I didn't
none
know
of
that.
Them. Not one.
That's funny.
Weird, but okay.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, they're doing their thing, man. You see the workout videos. Those guys are staying in shape.
They're getting it.
Hopefully Deontay's just working on a jugs machine all day, every day.
Him and Ebron, yep. Both, man.
What's funny is I saw Ebron posting videos with a jugs machine in his backyard last year. Somehow it didn't work. It did not work, man, but always have high hopes for the next season. Always.
He pulled a Rob Gronkowski and just did it all in one day and posted videos of him doing it different days.
Yeah. Yep. It's got to be. It's got to be. Salary cap. Did you hear about this?
I did. I saw that we now have we know where it's not going to go below or
above.
It's not
going to go above. Go past. In the 2022 season, the salary cap ceiling is set at $208.2 million.
Which is great compared to where it was last year.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people were hoping for 220. That's not going to be an option. There were rumors that part of the cap coming in where it did this season at 182.5 was borrowing against future years cap. That might be what this is them saying, hey, it's not going to go above this no matter what, because we already used some of that up last year with such low attendance numbers, so many empty stadiums due to COVID.
Yeah.
At least that's a good sign for the future, knowing that the cap is higher than the 200 that some thought it might be. 208 is the highest possibility. Let's hope we hit 208, right?
Maybe.
That'd be great.
Yes,
want it to be 208.
Yes, we do want it to be 208.
So Pittsburgh has tons of cap space and can sign all their guys and maybe even bring in one or two outside guys.
Yeah.
You know who might – this is not the schedule here at all. You know who my out in left field tinfoil hat idea is for the new corner after this year?
After this year.
Yep. So Joe Hayden's contract runs out. They're going to have Cam Sutton still and all the other young guys that don't have much of a resume on Pittsburgh right now. I think they'll go back to free agency.
Okay.
And I think they'll snag the Browns' current starting corner, Denzel Ward.
You think they're going to get Denzel Ward?
I think the Browns aren't going to be able to afford to re-sign him because they're scheduled to be $9 million above the cap. And they still got to sign Baker and Nick Chubb.
I don't disagree with you at all. That would be hysterical if we got two of their old corners.
Yeah. Just keep on going back and taking their good corners, man. It's not our fault they're not smart enough to pay them.
I'm not opposed.
No, I'm in. This is my outlandish prediction for the day, maybe for the month. I don't know.
It's not quite the same as when we got Joe, because Joe was a little bit older than Denzel Ward when we got
him. But he was coming off his first contract.
Yeah.
And wow. He was making like $10 million a year, and they didn't want to pay that much to him.
Wow. Yeah, we'll see what
happens. I don't think they value the position like they should.
I think they value the position. I think they value other ones more than they should.
I bet they pay Chubb and don't pay Ward.
I'm trying to process what that would look like. Didn't they draft a running back? No. Who am I thinking of?
No, Chubb's their stud.
Never mind, I'm thinking of Jackson.
Chubb should get $15 million a year plus when he gets his contract.
Easily.
Anyway, before this turns into Browns by the lake here, we'll get back on track here. Did you see the Steelers have been approved for full capacity at Heinz Field for this upcoming season?
I did, and that makes me very happy because that means the two games at least that I want to go to, I can now for sure go to.
Yes,
I am
yes.
very excited.
And 30 of the 32 teams in the NFL have been approved for full capacity.
That's insane.
Which is great. So we're heading back in the right direction.
We're going to be at training camp. James is going to be in Canton.
Yes.
And then we're going to be in Pittsburgh.
That's what I'm talking about, buddy.
I'm excited.
Yeah, things are looking up. Things are looking up, that's for sure. What else is looking up is Alex Highsmith's max reps on stuff, man. Added some weight.
Hitting that weight room.
Says he added 3 pounds of muscle. That doesn't sound like much to some folks, but when you're talking about actual muscle, that's a decent amount. Said he focused on just overall strength and getting bigger and stronger this offseason. Felt like that was the number one thing he needed to focus on, and I agree. I don't think that he was weak by any means. But when you become an outside linebacker / defensive end, however you want to look at it in the NFL, it does mean you're going against much bigger and much stronger individuals than you did at the college level.
Yeah, I'm not saying this out of hating on anybody or thinking that people don't come into the NFL ready to go, but I don't think anyone comes out of college into any major sport league and doesn't put on muscle.
Yeah.
And have a career. Let me clarify. I'm sure that some people come out and don't put on muscle. Johnny Manziel. And they don't have a career. But I think if you come out, the weight room, the nutrition, everything that you learn and you get just from being that caliber of player or person on these teams with the facility and with the training staff, you're going to gain muscle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the nutrition's a big part of it, too. A lot of these guys probably aren't getting the nutrition advice in college that they're getting in the pros.
Well, no, especially at those smaller schools.
Yeah.
At Clemson, at Ohio, maybe.
Highsmith is a good example.
Yeah.
What was he, like UNC Charlotte or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was not a huge organization that he came from. And the guy was strong. I mean, he was rumored to be repping 425 on the bench. That's a very strong individual. But realistically, any successful player gets bigger and stronger as they go on. So good to see that Alex Highsmith did the correct thing, focused on getting stronger. This is what TJ does every year. He always talks about, yeah, I gained a couple pounds of muscle, nothing too serious. And then you look at him and you're like, yeah, you're clearly bigger than last year, bro.
No, it's gross.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what Alex Highsmith and can do.
I'd be shocked if at this point, or if not by the start of, you know, actual training camp, I'd be shocked if TJ Watt doesn't take Alex Highsmith under his wing and teach him some moves and some, you know, the formatting, for lack of a better word, of how he pass rushes and different moves and stuff.
Yeah, setting up your moves, setting up the counter to your favorite moves, all that kind of stuff. It only helps TJ if Alex is better and better, because then TJ can't get double teamed and triple teamed as often as he does right now. So that'll be really fun to see for sure.
Did you see the stat on TJ Watt about... I believe Alex Kozora posted it, the number of QB hits in the past 3 years.
No.
No one comes even close to TJ.
That does not surprise
me. It's like 70, TJ's at 77 QB hits, the next person's at like 56. It's gross.
I love it. I love it, man.
They're dominating the game. This is the year for that Defensive Player of the Year award. I'm telling you.
Yeah, if he keeps on increasing that number of sacks, there's no way they can not give it to him. At a certain point, they just have to give it to him. So we'll see how that plays out, but I'm also excited about that. Coach Clem, the new offensive line coach for the Steelers, he was the assistant last year, the head offensive line coach this year, with a nice pro resume. Still looks like he could play, man. I don't know if you've seen
him. I saw a picture yesterday.
He's a big boy. It's all on his shoulders and chest, too.
Yeah, he could probably pick him up and put him down.
Put him in there at guard, man. Let's go. He's telling these guys, I want to see you destroy the man opposite you and run through his face.
Wow.
That's the mentality you want from your offensive line coach.
I'll take it. We talked all year last year, James and I both, about how our offensive line players would play until the ball got past them and then stop playing.
Yeah, they'd get in front of their guy, push him once or twice, and then just kind of stop. Then the running back would have three or four guys bringing them to the ground and 9 times out of 10 driving them back, because the offensive linemen never came in to help push the pile. They just didn't do it. We saw it once from Derwin Gray in one game, a couple times in that game from Derwin Gray. And then Derwin Gray was, you know, signed away when he was tried to sneak back down to the practice squad. And that was it, man. Now you got an offensive line coach who is coaching physicality first, physicality and aggressiveness. He looked at it and he openly admitted that he felt that there were times last year that the offensive line was just not aggressive enough. And a lot of this, too, he said he's going to be getting them into three-point stances more often.
I like that.
You can't really have power in the running game out of a two-point stance.
No.
You got to get low, man. Low man wins.
You can have power, but you got to hope the person on the other side of you doesn't get a good jump. Because if they get a good jump, it's over.
And you better hope that they stand still and you hit them.
Yeah.
If they move to the side at all, guess what? You're going to go right to the ground and you're going to miss them. If you come from a three-point stance, you're actually kind of lunging upward as you lunge into the man, which means you're not going to face plant. So,
We like that.
It sounds like some really nice coaching going on there from Coach Clem and with some new young guys. I mean, there's a video been going around of Kendrick Green squatting 700 pounds in college there. There's some good power coming from these new guys. Good power.
We got to get him signed. He is the last rookie to not be signed yet.
It'll be this week. I bet you it's like tomorrow right afterward.
I bet you it's Wednesday.
All right.
I just want to be different. I don't know.
I'll bet you 2 strawberries.
I'll bet you 2 strawberries of those.
Speaking of guys doing things in the next couple of days, Zach Banner and Devin Bush,
both coming off ACL injuries,
both already participating in camp.
Yeah, not full participation, and that's okay.
But they're going through drills. Devin Bush out there running around, catching balls in linebacker drills.
Yep, doing some cuts.
Yeah.
It's important, and he's not. It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look rusty. It looks like he's
fresh. Yeah, it looks smooth, fresh, man. Yeah. Looks smooth. He looks quick. Zach Banner going through pass sets, which can be kind of rough on a knee when you're talking about how they chop their feet to get into the appropriate position. So they're both on the right track to be ready for the preseason, which is huge.
Love it.
You know, especially with Zach Banner. You know, Devin Bush, I wouldn't be as worried about him missing time in the preseason. But Zach Banner, you know, he doesn't have a lot of time as a starting offensive lineman. So the more reps you can get for him in the preseason will actually be very beneficial, I believe.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for Steelers news. We are now going to move on and right into our way too early 53-man roster predictions. And this week it is the one and only James Strong with his 53-man roster prediction. So James is going to go through this. I will react. I haven't seen this yet. He asked if I wanted to look at it before. I said, heck no. I want my reactions to be genuine, and I want to react the same way that I would if I heard it for the first time, because I am hearing it the first time. So let's see what you got, James.
The first one is the big surprise. Big Ben's going to make this team.
Wow. And we cut the show right there.
All right, so we're starting quarterbacks, obviously. Ben, Mason Rudolph, and I'm going to say Dwayne Haskins as much as I want to say Josh Dobbs. I just feel like Pittsburgh knows what they have in Josh Dobbs, and I think they can put him on a practice squad, and nobody's going to try and steal him. And I believe that that makes the decision a little bit easier for them. I think they're going to want to try to hang on to Haskins past this season just to see if they can coach him up and turn him into something. I believe that they like Mason Rudolph more, especially based off of them giving him a one-year extension worth like $9 million. That kind of shows that they like him more. Yeah. But I do think Haskins is going to round out the top three on the quarterbacks.
I'm impressed that you said Haskins. I am impressed.
I told you I was going to throw you off with some of these. There's the first one.
Yeah.
There's the first one.
I like the Haskins keep. Without saying too much of what I would do or what I plan on doing.
Oh,
next
we
week.
Know what you're doing.
Ben's off the team. No, I'm just kidding. Mason Rudolph.
Dobbs the starter.
Mason Rudolph's contract says enough, and I agree with you on that. And then Dwayne Haskins. Here's the thing. Haskins was a first-round pick. People forget that or dismiss it. It's not like the talent wasn't there. It's not like he wasn't capable. He made stupid decisions. He wasn't smart, and he paid for it. And now, hopefully, in Pittsburgh, he gets a fresh start, and we can see what he can do. So I'm excited for him to at least play some in preseason and see what he has. But I like it. I like it a lot.
I think he's going to play a ton, especially in that first game. It'll be interesting to see him, that's for sure. Also excited to see the running backs this year in the preseason. I think there's some good offensive line depth for the first couple teams, so you might actually get to see the running backs do some damage in the preseason. Starting, of course, with Najee Harris, who everyone expects to be the starting running back. I've got Benny Snell backing him up, Anthony McFarlane Jr. as my number three, and then I'm going to keep four running backs on my first prediction here with Kalen Ballage as my number four.
Okay.
And this is me saying I pray to God they keep Kalen Ballage and not Jalen Samuels.
Yeah.
I almost put Jalen Samuels down because for some reason they seem addicted to keeping him on the team regardless of if he's any good or not.
Yeah. I can't agree anymore with the Jalen Samuels. Everyone on this show, if they've heard us talk about Jalen Samuels, knows how we feel about him. I think that keeping four running backs is very doable, especially when you realize how much they're going to use. They could use Ballage, Benny Snell, or, you know, Harris in the passing game. So I think that they're going to be the rotation at running back may be heavier than normal. So I like it. I like the four running backs.
Fullback. Big surprise, Derek Watt.
Wow, okay.
He's the only one on the roster right now.
Makes sense.
Tough one. On to the tight ends. Eric Ebron, of course, Pat Freiermuth. And then my third one, I'm going to go Kevin Rader.
Beating out Zach Gentry. Okay.
He's beating out Zach Gentry. And I've got an asterisk next to this. What I want them to do is go ahead and sign Jesse James, and he would, of course, make the team over Kevin Rader. If they don't make the move to bring in a free agent, preferably Jesse James.
Yeah.
Just because he would be head and shoulders above both Kevin Rader and Zach Gentry. Then I've got Rader above Gentry. I think he's a better special teamer and a way better blocker.
Fair. Okay. I want to have a reaction to that, but I also don't. I don't know. I like it. The Jesse James thing is great. That would be phenomenal. I think that would be
I want to put him on there so bad. I might buy the last one. We'll see.
You probably will.
Well, he might be signed by then. You never know.
That's true. Let's go to the tackles.
Tackles. Well, I did the entire offensive line group.
That's fine.
Actually, wide receivers I got first, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go wide receivers.
I just assumed we all knew.
So, wide receivers for the shocker of the day, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Holy cow.
Claypool Chase of the kind.
Wow. That's a weird way to say it, but okay.
Deontay Johnson.
Yep.
James Washington.
Yep.
Ray McLeod.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay.
I'm only keeping five, just like they did last year.
Okay.
I don't see any of the other guys big enough yet in name, and
I tell
wanted.
You big enough.
Oh, stop it with your bussy nonsense.
He's big.
He's a decent sized kid. But I also felt like I needed that extra roster spot for an offensive lineman.
Okay.
So.
Have at the offensive lineman. I'm not going to say anything about wide receivers. We're moving on.
So I just feel like with those wide receivers, the first four are locks, and then Ray is pseudo.
You don't have to explain your vanilla answer. It's okay.
Pseudo lock. Best proven return man on the team.
Fair. This
is why we're going to do another 53-man roster prediction like the
after
week
preseason.
Before the season starts.
Yeah.
Because obviously. With some preseason play, things could change. Some of these, there's a lot of young wide receivers on this team, so we're looking forward to seeing
them. And a good amount of them with kick return ability.
Yeah, there's a few of them for sure. Offensive line, like you were trying to push me into there. Zach Banner, of course.
Hopefully they push some people around, too.
Yeah, they better. Kevin Dotson can definitely push people around. I know that. Kendrick Green, David DeCastro, Chukwuma Okorafor, B.J. Finney, and Dan Moore Jr. I think those seven are the locks. Then I'm putting Aviante Collins and Joe Haig as my eighth and ninth offensive lineman.
Okay, so
I really don't want to do Joe Haig, but I think it's going to be tough for anybody to beat him out.
So you kept seven offensive linemen. That's not a high number.
Nine.
You kept nine.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
I feel like seven are locks.
I hear what you're saying.
But you got to kind of keep another interior guy and another exterior
and
guy.
And your last two, eight and nine, were Haig and...
Haig and Aviante Collins.
Okay.
I feel like Collins has the best pedigree out of the remaining guys. Hassenhauer will probably give him a run, but I think Collins is a way better guard. So I think you can move forward feeling confident with B.J. Finney's ability to snap the ball. Aviante Collins is going to be a better run blocker in the guard position. So I like him better on the inside.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree with you one bit.
Punter.
Wow, here we go.
PH3. Weird flex,
bro.
PH3, Presley Harvin III, beating out the veteran Jordan Berry, the incumbent Jordan Berry.
That was the biggest shocker of the day. Continue. Please tell me the kicker. Oh, my gosh.
Chris Boswell.
Boz for president.
That's right, baby. And then, of course, your long snapper, Cameron Canaday. He's only got one person competing with him, Christian Kuntz, the outside linebacker / long snapper, and I don't think he's really truly competing with him.
Listen, just for the simple fact of outside linebacker depth, I think there's a competition there that we may not see. But continue on.
Yeah, so speaking of that, we're going to go defensive line first, then outside linebackers.
Defensive line. You going defensive full line?
Just I'm lumping them all into one category.
Okay.
Not really calling them D-tackles or D-line, even though... You know, it's kind of going to have some gray areas with it. And once I get through the linebackers, you'll see where I'm going with this.
I already know where you're going.
Yeah. Cam Hayward, of course. Stephon Tuitt, of course. Tyson Alualu. Chris Wormley. Isaiah Loudermilk. I don't see any way that they cut him. You don't trade into this draft to pick him up and then cut him. Carlos Davis, I feel, will beat out Isaiah Buggs. And then I'm keeping seven with Henry Mondo being the seventh one. Outside linebackers.
I'm just processing through.
Go ahead.
No, I think I need to wait.
You process.
No.
But once I explain the outside linebackers, you'll understand my mentality.
You're just keeping
this.
Less outside linebackers. All right, continue.
Maybe.
I'm all ears.
So you got TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Quincy Roche, and I'm going to use Henry Mondo and Isaiah Loudermilk.
Dang. In that outside linebacker rotation.
And here's why I'm saying this. Because when you really look at it, when we need additional pass rushers as a game goes on, it's not in the base set. It's almost never. It's in nickel. So you need a guy that can rush the passer. You need a guy that can play special teams like Mondo can, right? We already talked about that. But you need a guy that's better outside against offensive tackles than he is inside. And I think both Loudermilk and Mondo fit that bill.
I don't disagree with you, but do you think that puts us in a bad situation to defend the pass?
No, because last year our outside linebackers only dropped into pass coverage 10% of the time. So I'm not really worried about it. They're sending him after the quarterback.
Plus, you just want to see Henry Mondo get a pick. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you send him back there. He's gonna make it happen. There aren't too many defensive linemen that athletic.
Okay, that's interesting. So you're keeping three. Using two defensive linemen as outside linebackers.
I mean, Loudermilk looks like a pretty lean dude.
He does look very lean.
And you're just not in the base set that often. That's my thing.
I don't disagree with you. It's unconventional, and I like it.
Yeah, especially with, I think, the way we're going to have to address some of the other positions with some guys with some flexibility from one position to another. You got to make some sacrifices somewhere, and I think this is where you do it. I think you keep Loudermilk at a lower weight like he is right now, and you tell him, hey, we're going to run you on the outside a little bit along with it. Good to go, man.
Okay.
Middle linebackers. Devin Bush. Robert Spillane. Buddy Johnson. Ulysses Gilbert III.
Ooh.
That's right. And Miles Killebrew. I'm keeping five middle linebackers.
You're keeping five.
I'm keeping five.
You have PTSD from last year or something.
No, but I don't see them keeping any less than eight linebackers total. A lot of times they do nine, sometimes even 10. So if I'm keeping three outside linebackers, then I better have at least five on the middle linebackers. And Killebrew, kind of a hybrid. He's kind of a strong safety slash middle linebacker type. He's going to play more special teams than anything else anyway. And I went UG3 over Vince Williams because of the potential there. Vince is probably going to retire after this year. UG3, if he can stay healthy, I think the upside is there. Plus, he's really good on special teams. So give me the guy with the upside and the ability on special teams, because that's what you're looking for in your backups. You don't want a backup that doesn't play special teams at linebacker. They've got to play special teams.
That's definitely fair. I see it working out a little bit differently, and I will explain that next week. But I don't disagree with your thought process on it. I think your thought process is on point as far as why UG3 over other people. But interested to bring my input next week. Interested.
This is going to be fun for us for sure. Cornerback position, the corners.
Here we go.
Joe Hayden, Cam
Shocker.
Sutton.
Shocker.
Justin Stay Out of Ohio Lane.
Good. I like it.
James Pierre.
Okay.
And Shakur Brown.
Ooh.
Keeping him as my fifth. He is the likeliest to be that nickel corner type guy. Okay. And I think
I'm real curious to hear these safeties.
I bet you are, buddy. But I'm going to make you wait after this word from our sponsors. I'm kidding. We don't have any yet. But Shakur Brown, one of the highest sought after undrafted free agents that Pittsburgh had. They gave him one of the biggest signing bonuses.
Not only for the team, but in Pittsburgh history.
Yeah. $25,000 is a huge signing bonus for an undrafted guy. And the biggest Pittsburgh's done. So I feel as though he's going to be really given the opportunity. He's going to play a ton in the preseason. If he makes a few plays, it'll be easy for him to win that job. And Pittsburgh's got a history of trusting undrafted guys in the secondary like that. Like Mike Hilton, who's undrafted, played for years, you know. So it'd be very interesting to see. But safeties.
Tell me. Here we go.
Micah Fitzpatrick.
Shocker.
Terrell Edmonds.
Okay.
Trey Norwood.
There we go. There's the name I was looking for.
Arthur Maulette.
Okay.
And Antoine Brooks Jr. I felt like you had to have a strong safety type, which is what Antoine Brooks Jr. is. Arthur Maulette, free safety slash corner, nickel corner specifically. Mm-hmm. Same idea with Trey Norwood, but I think Pittsburgh is going to be kind of leaning towards using him as a safety. But his versatility of being able to play in the nickel as a slot corner. I just think this year you're going to have some of those hybrid guys.
Yeah, just bring them in even a dime set as that third.
Yeah.
That third safety.
Yep. Safety. And then if you need to bring them down to cover a tight end, a running back, or a slot receiver, you do it. So I think that's the kind of versatility they're looking for this year. Safeties that can play corner, middle linebackers that can play strong safety. I did have Marcus Allen as the odd man out this year. I think Killebrew beats him out, which pains me to say that just because I love my Penn State kids, you know, but I feel like Marcus Allen might be on the outside looking in. I'd put him on the practice squad, though. We got to find out how many people are going to be on the practice squad this year. I know it's going to be at least 12.
Is Marcus Allen still practice squad eligible?
Everyone is.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
rules have changed, man. The rules have changed. So I'm going to keep Josh Dobbs and Marcus Allen for sure on mine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. That's what I got, man. That's my first crack at the 53-man roster prediction.
So if Pittsburgh, if you had to drop one guy from that list.
Yeah.
To add another,
mm-hmm.
who would be the first drop and who would be the first add? I'm just curious.
Predictively or what I'd like to see?
What you'd like to see.
What I'd like to see, probably Antoine Brooks Jr. for Donovan Steiner.
Okay.
I'd like to see him given an opportunity. And then the other one would probably be Joe Hag. I'd like to see Anthony Coyle over him.
Fair.
Or even Jaron Jones. You know, take your pick.
Guys.
Any of those offensive tackles play well enough to beat out Joe Haig.
It's very interesting. Very interesting. Well, I like the input. I like. Or let me clarify. I like the 53-man. I think we're going to have some situations come up in preseason that are going to make us question some things. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We want to be questioned on these things. We want to have somebody, some no-name spark up and make a name for themselves and make it harder for us. We don't want these things to be easy. And I don't know. I like it.
Now, I'm excited for yours.
First 53-man. You're not ready.
I'm excited for yours, bro.
You're not ready for mine.
I got some feelers. I think I'm going to see Rico Bussey.
You could think that.
Yeah.
You could think that. We'll have to wait and see. We will have to wait and see, James. Just like
our listeners
will.
You're going to have like Christian Scotland Williamson as your tight end.
Oh, yeah. We're going to bring him back. Listen, we're going to bring him back. It's going to happen.
That'd be nice, though.
That would listen, that's the – forget Jesse James. CSW, baby.
Team CSW.
Imagine us bringing them both back. Oh, my gosh.
That'd be amazing.
That would be
– Just get rid of Joe Hag. We'll keep CSW and Jesse James.
We would come out in four tight end sets.
Why
just,
not?
Just to watch the other team squirm.
Why wouldn't you?
Oh, man. Well, we can't thank you guys again enough for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next week where I do my 53-man roster, this is your hosts, James and Cody, signing off.
Can't wait. Peace.